We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in to the Tuesday edition Oxford Exxon Podcast. Blue Sky live stream here with you this morning. Those in the stream, Corey Clark, Clark Ford will join us in a second. We'll also talk some basketball, some football, some baseball, covering all sports today. Ole Miss women fall to Notre Dame yesterday in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament. They fell 71-56 to Notre Dame Fighting Irish, ending their season at 24-9. Ole Miss shaking up its weekend rotation for baseball. Riley Maddox now the Friday starter. We'll talk about that a little bit. New NFL tackle rule goes into effect yesterday. So stuff across all the sports here with you today. A podcast brought to you every day by the Blue Sky locations throughout Mississippi, including the Oxford Exxon. That's Highway 6 West. But telling you a lot about Macomb here this week. They have the grand opening Monday through Friday. So if you're in the area, we've been telling you about it. Everything from fountain drinks to coffee specials to lunch specials. Yesterday, you could have gotten that chicken spaghetti. You got meatloaf. You got red beans and rice this week. You got tons of different options coming up there in Macomb. Again, going through Friday, stop in. Just so many specials, so many things to take advantage of with that location. And again, all locations of Blue Sky up and down I-55 and throughout North Mississippi as well. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Corey will join momentarily. I forgot to send him a link, and I emailed him the link instead of texted him the link, so he's got to dig it out, but he'll get that in a minute. So we'll hear from Corey, talk about what's going on at Clark Ford, among other things, and he'll join on the Campbell Clinic hotline. Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. The Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot, ankle surgery, spine, total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Hey, Corey, joining us now, I believe. Is that correct?
Corey, how are you?
Not so much.
It says that he joined, but I don't hear him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not seeing it on your screen over there.
Well, it was on the screen, but okay. Then I hit accept, and it might be his Wi-Fi. If not, I'll call him on this.
Yeah, it's all good. We'll pull off.
Won't be a big deal. We'll figure it out.
Hope everybody's doing well. Look at the stream a little this morning. Talk some Major League Baseball. Obviously, the Ohtani stuff. We're going to hit it this week. I had stuff yesterday. It wasn't necessarily pertinent to our conversations, and got a pretty full docket today. But don't worry. If you hang in with us, we will discuss some Major League Baseball, some Shohei Ohtani situation. As he was pretty direct with the media, even though he hasn't answered most of the questions that actually they are asking at the same time.
So I mean,
it's we all know what actually happened. We are playing a shell game at this point, so that is the interesting part of.
I mean, I get it. I'm cool with it, but I've got questions
that will or will not
that will or will not be answered at any point. Would the MLB investigation be an actual, accurate, thorough investigation, or are they doing anything to protect Shohei Ohtani, in your opinion?
I think they have to protect him. The sport is so fragmented now in terms of its national appeal.
Okay.
That they have to.
They can't have this level of scandal right
not with,
now.
Not with him.
That's what I mean.
I mean, Pete Rose comes out last night and goes, if I just had an interpreter.
I mean, not completely invalid there, if you're just being real frank about it. I mean, no, I mean, look, you know what the strike did to it. You know what the steroid era has done to it in a lot of ways. You know what just simply regionality has done to the sport. The sport's biggest star on a global level, even with the thought that he bet on baseball. Because it is where I change. If you're betting on other stuff, I don't give a crap. You can do that all day, and I do not care. But if he bet on baseball or even had the thought that he did, it's catastrophic is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the answer.
And everybody's like, oh, well, okay, so he sat there yesterday and read a statement, didn't take questions, and still didn't answer. How did this guy have access to
bank information?
To your bank.
Right. That's the thing. That's the question above all
questions.
And
then here's the other one. Well, this is the big question. And I've never been a bookie in my life. But if I started being a bookie today, I don't know that I'd let you run up $4.5 million worth of debt if I wasn't pretty sure that you had the money to pay it.
The only one of the few people you would allow that level of debt is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, because he's making $700
million. Yeah, okay, we'll settle.
We'll figure it out.
And I know where to find him. We're cool.
Yeah, well, and if I exposed him, I could destroy him, so he'll pay. He let Ipe or whatever run up $4.5 million worth of debt.
$4.5 million.
An interpreter who makes $400,000 a year. It doesn't make sense.
And just happened to get $4.5 million. I mean, yeah. Just didn't notice the $4.5 million gone. That's one for you. I mean. There you go. It can be anywhere because he's not going in the video.
Corey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Sorry about that. Had a little technical issue that I was trying to figure out. I'm slow this morning.
Would you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, Corey?
Absolutely. Told him to his face.
Yep.
What would you...
Played blackjack with Pete Rose one time.
Oh, tell me that story.
He was doing that thing where he signs autographs for money, you know? Sat down at Caesar's Palace. I was at a meeting, and it took me like 30 minutes to realize who it was. He had sunglasses and a hat on. And I just sat there for, I don't know, an hour and a half with him. And when he got up, I told him, I said, a big fan, Mr. Rose. They thought to put you in the Hall of Fame. And he said, he had been asking me, like, what I did, where I was from, and everything else. And I never asked him back who he was or what he did. And he said, I didn't realize you knew who I was. I thought you were just being a jerk, like, not asking him back. Like, you know, where are you from? But, yeah, that's pretty neat. He was playing for much higher stakes than I was.
What have your thoughts been on this Ohtani thing? Have you followed it? Did you watch this thing yesterday? What are your impressions?
I did. I saw on the board where it was just going to be a statement, so I didn't even give it much, you know, after that. Did they ever ask me questions?
No, there were no questions.
No questions allowed.
I'm sure the statement was pretty nothing to see here, kind of.
No, it was much more detailed than I thought it would be. I was on the Peloton. I was watching the whole thing, and it was long. He said a lot. He laid out a timeline that in some ways makes sense, and in other ways just leaves a lot of questions, like the two questions that we just talked about. There's a lot of questions out there about how his interpreter had access to the account, number one. And then number two, and this is the big one, why would a bookie let a $4.5 million debt roll up unless he felt like it was being bankrolled by someone who had those funds? And yeah. Ipe would not have those funds. Ipe Mizuhara would not have those funds. Shohei Ohtani obviously would.
Yeah, my experience with bookies is they don't have that big of a threshold.
Have to be a pretty sizable bookie there, Corey.
For sure.
I mean, yeah, you'd have somebody with a little capital behind them for that type of cash flow.
My bookie and Shannon back in the day did not have that kind of credit line.
That's my thing, right? I mean, you don't let somebody just keep rolling up the debt unless you feel like
it's secure.
It's secure. And now it's see, here's the possible answer that I think everyone will use to bail Shohei out. Well, he did have access to his bank account because Shohei so trusted him that he let him handle a lot of his financial stuff.
Sure.
And The guy saw Shohei's name on it and assumed that Shohei was behind it, and so he let the debt roll up.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Shohei never knew because he's totally innocent.
And he just happened to miss $4.5 million.
And he's pure as the driven snow.
I mean, I did enjoy that on social media yesterday.
With the talking points, Neil.
Well, exactly. Like, how much could a buddy take from your bank account without you realizing it? It wouldn't be $4.5 million. Like,
but for Shohei, would he notice $1 million?
Well, it's not like it's coming out. Like, it's not probably sitting in a checking account too. So, I mean,
my guess is
it'd be so spread out.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his portfolio looks like, but
200,000 here, 200,000 there.
Yeah, no big deal.
Those are my problems.
Yeah, no doubt. No question.
I saw our Ranger got built, Corey.
Yeah, I did.
I'm proud of it. Good. I can't.
We're in business.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Work an email.
Yeah.
Work an email.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Oh, good. I don't know. See, we got a rotation change in baseball. We're going to talk some basketball. I'm going to compliment Mississippi State in a minute. Yeah. Just hanging out. Got a full docket today, Corey.
Got,
good deal.
Got pro day tomorrow. Easily the most exciting day of the year on the beat.
If you had to get it within 0.2 seconds, what would your 40 time be?
Mine?
Uh-huh.
7. I don't know. So if I had to get it within 0.2, I'd say 6.
You say 6 something? Yeah.
I'm more built for comfort. The speed, you know?
I don't think I could run 40 yards right now. I'm pretty sure I would fall. My knee would collapse.
Yeah, I don't know if you could sprint right now.
I don't think I could even jog 40 yards.
Really?
Mm-mm. Certainly couldn't sprint.
Yeah. So.
All right, guys.
What's going on at Clark Ford?
Ending up the month, slash the quarter. We've got remaining 23 F-150s have got some rebate and 72 months at 1.9%. It's not zero, but it's better than what we would get at a bank or credit union. So can kind of relieve the payment a little bit. So I think I've got 6 or 7 of those trucks left. Like Chase said, got some stuff coming in. So just give us a call and we'll try to put it in your driveway.
All right. What's the number? 662-257-1900, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Corey. Appreciate you, bud.
See ya.
Corey Clark there with Clark Ford. Appreciate his few minutes there. Yeah, I don't want to do an MPW Digital Pro Day, but yeah, I would think somewhere.
I'd get Carson to run for me.
Proxy. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Proxy.
I'd get Carson to run for it. I think he could probably,
instead of bench pressing 225, we'll bench press like 135. You know, we'll make some improvements to it.
I'm not even sure what I could bench these days. I
couldn't tell you the last time I was under a bench press.
I bench press every so often.
You really?
Yeah. 185 maybe 195. I don't think I could do 225.
Oh, I know I couldn't do 225. I mean, I'm 100% sure. But I haven't been under a bench press since high school, college. I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a few.
Because even any strength workout that I'm doing is either body weight or dumbbells.
I haven't done it.
I used a ton of dumbbells.
I probably did it last time in December.
Okay. you would look more athletic doing it than Darren Revelle when he ran it the 40 a couple years ago. I mean, he was,
when healthy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's like,
yeah, I could run
waddling.
More, I could run more gracefully than Revelle.
Yeah.
Once I'm healthy.
Yeah, sure.
But I would just let Carson run for me, but proxy.
Okay. It's less fun, though.
He'd clock about a 4.
Decent high school athlete running is not entertaining anybody necessarily. So
he'd probably clock about a 4.6.
I think so.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
That's what he said.
I'd be thrilled to have a 4.6.
Safety or linebacker back in the day. Now, what I was going to say about State is I saw it. Robbie Falk tweeted it this morning, and I've enjoyed making fun of them on Twitter because their script looks just like Michigan State. But I was seeing some changes they made to their logos and branding, and it's one of my dorky things. I like that kind of thing. They've made some really good switches. In their defense, and I'm still going to make fun of them because I enjoy it and it gets everybody worked up and whatnot on social media, but they used that State script back in the 70s for baseball. So they're returning to something that they had a long time ago. I just ignore that when I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've switched their maroon. They shared their maroon color with the same with a bunch of other schools. And now they've gone darker to their own shade of maroon, and it looks better. It is a crisper color, like it's not as washed out a little bit. It's the right move. And then the other thing I noticed, the State script is replacing their banner M logo. You know, it has the M with the banner through it that says State.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's good because identifiably, M State is kind of a weird, it almost kind of looks like Missouri State if you're just glancing at it. Yeah. I think being an SEC school, you can adopt a new logo like that that's sort of fresh, and people pick it up more than recognizing your current logo, especially the way ESPN puts Ole Misses and States in the wrong place half the damn time. And then the thing that I found funny about it was I was looking at their discontinued marks, and they have discontinued all cowbell logos as official athletic department logos. So,
oh.
Now, again, they're not getting rid of the cowbell. Nobody take me saying that. But I just
from a branding standpoint.
No more cowbells. It literally is under a category that says discontinued marks. Note, no longer in use and associated with Mississippi State University Athletics. And it's their banner State, long spelled out thing. Their M State with a bulldog over it. Their family that uses their logo for the M. All a bunch of cowbell logos, a bulldog's paw, and a bulldog's head. None of those are being currently used whatsoever.
Oh.
So just...
Okay.
Just noticed it. No cowbell anymore. I know, Mark, I like uniforms and branding. It's to be a very non-visual person, it's kind of a strange thing. Because I can't take a picture and focus. I can't use Photoshop beyond the very rudimentary things. But for whatever reason, that Mark thinks you could do 225.
I don't think so.
You don't? I mean, we can try.
I mean, I've done it before, but it's been a while. I don't think I could. Maybe one time.
Maybe one time?
Maybe. But I would be concerned about getting hurt. I'm old, man. But I can easily do, what's it, when you have a plate, one, is it 135? Yeah.
Yeah, a plate on each side is 135.
I can do that 20-something times.
Okay.
So then I can start adding to it, and I'm okay. I get to about 165, 175, and I'm start to get to a place where I'm like, ah, this is stupid. What am I trying to prove?
When's the last time you did a real squat, like out of the actual rack?
4 or 5 years.
Okay. Because you hurt yourself doing some of that stuff if you're not careful.
Yeah.
That can get...
You start having some knee issues, and you know it, you get away from some of that stuff. Now, Chase is a uniform guy. I'm a uniform guy. I like uniforms. I like to look at uniforms and evaluate uniforms and make fun of bad ones and praise good ones.
Florida does have really good baseball uniforms. That's true. And the F plays better on baseball than the other sports.
Yeah.
Because I don't like logos on hats. Like, I don't want the Gator logo on the hat. I want the F.
What about the Orioles?
Okay, that one works. Maybe I'm used to it. I don't know. I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah. Fair.
But in general, because, I mean, the best logo of all time is the MB, the Brewers logo.
Yeah.
And it works.
They still use it quite a bit.
But most of the time, if it's not something that I'm sort of whatever on, and even that one's on... You know, they do the O's and stuff, too. It's not necessarily on every hat. It's on a little bit of an alternate deal there at times with the Orioles. But in general, hat a little more, little plainer. I think it's on the iPad.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's on the iPad. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Look, like I said, we got a lot of stuff. I'm just a little scattered here. Here today for this. We'll do this. I don't think it'll take long. I saw in the stream they did approve the kickoff rule.
Yes.
So it is done. They will be a landing zone, and if the ball goes there, you have to return it. Then you anything in the end zone that that bounces into the end zone has to be downed or returned, and then the ball will come out to, I think, the 35-yard line. Is that correct?
All right.
I think it's 30 or 35. I don't know which one.
You don't want to give NFL teams the ball at 35.
No, it's going to
because you're really close to field goal range.
It's going to encourage high kicks that fall in the landing zone to then tackle. Mm-hmm. But now they're also not getting running starts anymore, so the coverage team will not be as quick down the field.
And you can't hip drop.
Disaster waiting to happen.
It's going to cost somebody a game.
Because here's the deal.
I feel for the officials.
In a completely just reading the rule, is this a good rule change standpoint? Probably. I will give them that. When you look at the data, the things that they've talked about with this rule, it makes sense. Mark Andrews last year was kind of the poster child, the Ravens tight end, for the change to this. He was hip dropped on a tackle in November. He did not return for the rest of the regular season with an ankle injury. I guess it was Kansas City, the loss to them when he did come back. And they define it as when a defender grabs a runner with both arms and unweights himself, meaning going dead weight, by swiveling and dropping his hips or lower body. And what happens is you're catching the ball carrier's feet and ankles under you when you fall and causing lower leg injuries.
Yes.
That is the reason for this. And in a completely tangible, just reading the rule understanding, I agree with it. However, these are world-class athletes moving so fast. Officials already struggle with so many judgment calls. We are putting them in a complete no-win situation here. I mean, because here's the problem is now, how do you tackle someone who's ahead of you? I can't do this. I can't lead with my head. If I grab you on my upper body, I can't drop my weight. Like, now I need an understanding of, okay, if I'm behind you on an angle and I catch up to you, literally, I'm asking,
you have to push,
how do I tackle you?
Push them out. That's it.
What if you're not near the sidelines?
Then you're probably not going to bring them down.
What do you do?
I mean,
can you dive at their feet?
I have a hot take on this, but it's so controversial that it's just not worth getting into because people lose their minds over it.
But you've already introduced it now.
No, I mean, you already know what it is. I mean, I'll just tell you, I'm glad that someone who's made a career off of covering football, in most parts of my life, I would kill to be younger. In this case, I'm glad I'm not. I don't like the future of the game. I am not bullish on the. I know that right now it is booming, but there are some real underlying issues, and now you're starting to fundamentally change it.
Yeah, I don't know how you tackle. No one has explained to me what it actually looks like.
So the answer is they don't want you to tackle from behind. They want you to, when the guy gets ahead, he scores. They want more points. That's the answer.
They want all the scoring.
They want
skill players thriving.
They want 50-something to 40-something games. And in the NFL, I don't know that that's going to look right.
And is this going to trickle down to college where they're less fundamentally sound and then suddenly it's happening all the time because they simply can't help it? I mean,
I don't know.
It feels problematic on multiple levels. I didn't even know this was a thing until it passed yesterday. ...230 instances of the hip drop tackle last year, up 65% from the year prior. 15 caused a player to miss at least one game. So 15 of 230. Now, how that compares to any other type of tackle, I have no freaking idea.
But the other concern that they have, obviously, is that they're very concerned about the optics of skill players getting hurt. People come to see skill players. People have fantasy teams that are built on skill players. Nobody's taking the Laramie Tunsil with the first pick in the fantasy draft.
No.
Hell, nobody's taking Laramie Tunsil with the 60th pick in the fantasy draft. It's all about skill players. And so when they start getting hurt, people lose interest.
And it hurts gambling.
Yes. So very clearly this is where they're headed.
Protecting the business of it.
Yeah.
And protecting the offensive player too.
So it's just kind of an interesting...
Yeah, I mean, good point. Adding 230 penalties is going to change the game over the course of a season. That's a lot.
Yes, a ton. And the officials are going to miss it. People are going to get upset. You're asking officials who already have an almost impossible job to now add a really difficult task to it. I mean, I really, Hardman says you can't take Tunsil, period, in fantasy. That's my point. It's, frankly, games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage, but that's not where the fan interest is.
So almost a penalty per game. There are 272 games in an NFL season.
Say it again?
There are 272 games in an NFL season.
Okay.
So give or take a penalty per game.
Okay.
A little less, but... Good enough.
Yeah.
And now my question here, because this, look, I mean, now this suddenly becomes the training camp thing you're working on as a team all of a sudden. You're going, okay, how do we tackle from behind where we hit them in their legs, but we don't drop our weight and swivel? Because it's the swivel that they're actually trying to police out of this. But that's a physics thing. When you grab into somebody and you fall, well, you're not falling straight. So... I get it, but at the same time, you're actually saying, hey, you can still do that. Just don't let gravity and physics work here on your way down. I mean,
I don't remember the NFL player who said it yesterday, but I'm going to ask you this, and I'm being totally serious when I do it. So don't roll your eyes and think that I'm trolling. I'm not when I ask this. One of the NFL players yesterday, a defensive player, said, let's just bring out the flags.
They really?
Yeah.
And
if I asked you 40 years from now, is professional football flag football?
No, people won't care to that level. No.
It would still be highly skilled.
No. Mm-hmm. You can't dumb it down to that level and it have anywhere near the popularity that it has now. It's just too different. It's a different sport.
Yeah.
That's like saying arena football would suddenly become huge because they like still play football, except even worse.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. I won't be around to find out, but I don't like the future of the game 50 years from now. Don't. I mean, I think there's some clear trends.
Will Ole Miss host a men's SEC soccer match by 2040?
No.
Okay.
2060? Yeah.
2060?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Talk a little baseball, talk a little women's basketball after the break. First, podcast brought to you by the Ole Miss Athletics Foundation. Spring sports are underway. Single game tickets for baseball. Speaking of, now on sale, Kentucky this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 2024 football season ticket donation renewal deadline coming up March 31st, just 5 days away. If you want to get your priority points up before seat or parking selections, call the foundation, 662-915-7159. For more information, give to athletics.com. That's G-I-V-E-T-O, athletics.com.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with the personalized retirement income plan. Andrew Sego with Sego Wealth Management specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. Brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great people, products, and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern 662-429-4429. If you're coming up this weekend for the Kentucky series, stop by the College Corner. It's in Oxford now, right off of Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons. More than 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear. Plenty of parking available. Their staff will have you in and out, ready for the Grove. And I'm sorry, I should say Swayze, in no time. Also, check them out in two locations in the Jackson area and online at collegecornerstore.com.
We're brought to you by Argent Wealth. When you work with Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services, you gain a valuable advisory team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. They're committed to providing you with the personalized attention and involvement that you want and need. Their goal is to help you manage your 401k plan properly and ultimately improve your employees' retirement readiness. It's myargentwealth.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're trying to plan a special trip that creates a lifetime of unique memories, get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget. He'll give you options that you're not going to find on your own. It's 901-494-3307 or jedwards at regencytravel.net.
Ole Miss faces Austin Peay in baseball tonight. Swayze Field, 6:30 start for that one. The Governors, they are 15-8 on the season. They do have three wins over SEC teams. They swept Mississippi State in a midweek Tuesday-Wednesday clash a few weeks ago, and they took one of three from the Auburn Tigers in a weekend series during non-conference play as well.
What? Look at the Govs.
I mean,
rolling.
Second-year coach, improved.
Yeah.
They were much better in their league last year.
What league is that?
That's what I was trying to remember. Is it OVC? I don't even know. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's fine. Whatever. It's all good. Speaking of small conferences, Brian Burr, Ole Miss assistant, headed to Rio Grande Valley or wherever is their new basketball coach. They are joining the Southland. They're leaving the WAC and moving to the Southland.
It makes more sense.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, good move, guys. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's all fine. I got no qualms there with your decision.
I suspect he missed being a head coach. Once you've been a head coach and you have to be an assistant,
and you went that far down. I mean, I'm
probably want to be a head coach again.
A Sun for Austin Peay. They're in the Atlantic Sun.
Oh, okay.
Did not have that on my.
That's what Belmont. Belmont's in the A Sun, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah. I'm almost positive.
Stetson and Elon, maybe.
Ooh, now we're asking a lot of questions, but
okay.
I'm pretty sure. Wait, was it Belmont? Wait, Belmont or no? What was the camp Carson went to in Nashville? It wasn't Belmont.
Lipscomb.
Is Lipscomb A Sun?
No. I don't know.
I could have sworn I saw some A Sun signage.
A Sun signage. I mean, I don't know. Atlantic Sun.
Is Lipscomb the Bison?
They are. Bisons. There's an S on it.
Plural.
Yes, that is correct.
Belmont's OVC. So I bet Lipscomb is A Sun.
Really? All right. Basketball standings in the A Sun. Eastern Kentucky, Lipscomb.
There you go.
Stetson, Austin Peay, North Florida, FGCU, Florida Gulf Coast, North Alabama. Queens, I think it's out of South Carolina. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Kennesaw State, Central Arkansas, Jacksonville, and Bellarmine.
Okay.
Out of Kentucky for people.
Gotcha. So, Central Arkansas, they're in Conway.
They are.
Another purple team. Aren't they purple?
They are purple.
Yeah.
Yes. Central Arkansas was the team that Ole Miss had lost to when Mike told me it was a horseshit question in my first season on the beat back in the day. It was Central Arkansas.
You'll always remember them.
Yeah. 3-2 Bears. That day, they were in a transitional year from D2 to D1.
So when Central Arkansas plays Lipscomb, there is a lot of purple on the field.
Yeah, their Bisons with the S visibly frustrates me every time Ole Miss plays them in baseball because it's right across their jersey too. It just says Bisons across the front.
Was it just somebody screwed up and doubled down?
They have a reason for it. I looked it up. I was very concerned, but I don't remember. Yeah, I don't recall now. Oh, he says Queens is in Charlotte. Okay, North Carolina instead of South. Close enough, Carolina. Yeah. So anyway, sorry. Austin Peay tonight, Kyler Carmack getting the start for Ole Miss, the Arkansas State transfer.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the Sun Belt. I am aware of that one.
How's he done so far, Carmack?
He was not very good in Hawaii, but he's been pretty good since then. Thrown a lot of strikes, has a great changeup. Frankly, profiles more as kind of a midweek starter type or a multi-inning guy than necessarily somebody who comes in for one inning. So he makes a lot of logical sense for tonight in a game that Ole Miss needs. I mean, when you lose a lot of non-cons early, I mean, you can't just throw them away. It's not going to dictate your season, but it does have an impact. So they need to win the game tonight. But what it's really about is that Riley Maddux is not throwing tonight. Mike Bianco announced on Sports Talk Mississippi yesterday with Richard Cross that he's going to start Riley Maddux on Friday night. The Jackson native will throw on Friday. They're leaving Liam Doyle on Saturday for his start, and then moving Gunnar Dennis to Sunday from Friday. Grayson Saulnier out of the rotation for this weekend. So it's a logical thing. I mean, we were probably going to spend a little time on the podcast this week debating where do you put Doyle, what do you do, but I have no issues with this move. I tell you, the pro and the con of it, I was thinking about it this morning, and Maddux has had three straight weeks of really good midweeks. The Southern Miss one was key for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a better lineup. It's a good team. It's not just beating Sisters of the Poor by any means.
Sure.
And then he survived that second inning, that clown car of an inning when the defense did him no favors and was kicking balls everywhere. He comes back and retires 13 in a row or something after that. Really settled back down, showed a lot of maturity. That's something that's huge on a weekend. And in a perfect world, you're talking about a guy that over three starts, 17 innings, six runs, 14 Ks, only two walks in his last 17 innings. That's what you're trying to get out of Riley Maddux, is no free passes on Friday night. Make him hit it. He's a sinker ball guy. Maybe he gets you into the game. Maybe you have a lead. Maybe he eats some innings, because Friday is about avoiding what we were talking about yesterday, where you have that fifth inning bullpen decision and don't know what to do because of where you are in the game. I will say this, the one thing he's got to be careful about, because he's still relatively new being a primarily sinker ball pitcher like this, is that his issues early in the season was he had too much adrenaline and he was throwing that sinker too hard. And when you throw a sinker too hard, it rides up in the zone and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and they hammer it because that's not what that pitch is intended for in any way. And you have to almost kind of throw it softer. You got to stay pretty composed in your delivery. You can't – it's not the max effort fastball guy who's just trying to throw it 103. And he struggled with that. And look, on a Friday night in the SEC, you're going to be adrenalized. There's going to be an extra layer that's not when you're out there at home on Tuesday against Missouri State. So for him, managing emotions, really key on Friday. I think he gives you a lot of things. I like what – I don't hate that decision at all. I think it makes a lot of sense given your options that you have. But that's what he's got to guard against, is that sinker getting up and not doing what it's supposed to do there on Friday. You just need Doyle to keep doing what he's doing. And then Dennis makes some sense on Sunday. He's a kid that got some toughness about him. I feel like I've beat him up the last few weeks because I keep talking about his whip and allowing too many base runners. But the standard for that on a Friday is so different than anything else. That was the context of why I was doing it, is a guy doing that on Friday, you're one ball in the gap from that game being over at that point.
Yep.
But Sunday's not like that necessarily. Cut out the walks, keep you in it.
Yeah, you can come back in a Sunday.
Leave some bases, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the way to be competitive. So given their options, this move makes complete sense to me. I have no issue with it as they move forward. Again, you can make an argument to go Doyle, Maddux, Dennis, but it's six of one, half of a dozen of the other at this point.
I'm kind of a believer, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And right now, Doyle pitching on Saturday is not broke. And I get the temptation to move him 100%. If they did it, I go, I understand.
No, it's a coin flip.
But he's obviously very comfortable on Saturday right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd probably just leave him there.
He's giving you really good everything on Saturday.
Because you might change the mental mojo if you move him to Friday.
That happens.
Sure.
Christian Trent wasn't the same guy back in the day when you took him from Saturday to Friday.
Maybe,
it's just a different
world. Maybe he benefits from seeing the lineup in person once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just would rather pitch on Saturday. And maybe it's one of those deals where he'd put him in Friday and you'd go, okay, now I'm really got the pressure on me.
Because you lose that one with him.
Yeah, now I'm pressing.
Yep, scrambling.
I'm overthrowing.
No, it's possible that Doyle throwing on Saturday frees up the team. And they go, oh, we're cool. He's throwing tomorrow.
Sure.
We're fine.
Sure.
That kind of happened in 19, even though Ole Miss was better overall with Nkazi. They had Nkazi on Saturday and everybody went, hey, it's cool. Doug's got it tomorrow.
Sure.
Just need to.
I mean, there's a lot of psychology to baseball.
Oh.
So, you know, if he's really pitching well and he's comfortable, that's my thing. I would be like, hey, do you like this? You like pitching on Saturday? You seem to really like it. And if his answer is, yeah, this is where I feel good. Okay, cool.
Yeah. We're not going to overthink this.
The Saturday game counts just as much as the Friday game.
It's a hell of a swing game. So I'm back in it or I've lost it.
You know, I mean, the Friday games are hard to win anyway. I mean, they are. I mean, look, you can.
There are days on Friday where you just lose because of the other dude.
Well, I mean, last Thursday, the kid for Auburn gave up one run
and lost.
He was terrific.
Lost.
And he lost because Hagan Smith was better. Holman's very, very good. They're just guys in the league that are.
Well, look, Florida's doing it right now. They go, you know what? He plays two positions. We do a lot of stuff. We're just going to leave Caglian on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go, you better get us early in the weekend.
Yeah.
Because we're going to hand him the ball.
It lets them use their bullpen differently early in the weekend.
Because they're probably going to get 5-6 out of their guy on Sunday. Yeah. And it's going to be.
And it lets him focus on hitting earlier in the weekend. And he might just prefer to pitch on Sunday. At which point you go, okay. The Sunday wins count just as much as the Friday wins. Literally the same.
I know Tupelo is kind of joking or whatever, but it is funny that baseball is the one sport where the other team dictates your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Who they pitch depends on who I hit and where and how, sure. Or, hey, we're facing that guy, so I'm going to change my rotation or I'm going to do something different because of you. No other sport does that. Basketball doesn't necessarily go, hey, you know what? We're going to sit our guard today because that's whatever.
And look, you can be Harry Hardass as the guy running your team.
Yeah.
And you take the guy who's comfortable on Saturday and you put him on Friday and he presses and all of a sudden he gives up 7 runs and 2 1/3. And he walks everybody. He's completely out of kilter and he takes him a month to get back. And, yeah, you proved your point that, by God, it's your team. Congrats.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, baseball players are weird.
By rule.
Just being honest.
Yeah.
And sometimes pitchers can be kind of peculiar. And if a guy feels more comfortable on the second day of a weekend series than he does on the first, kind of let him stay there if he's going to give you results.
Yeah. Duell feels like a guy who would handle Friday. He's got some moxie about
him. Yeah.
And I have a hunch before his career's over, he'll have the ball then. He's back next season.
Yeah. And it might be that deal where they don't want to do it to him yet.
Yeah. He only has started 2 games without a pitch count.
I mean, again, he looks comfortable. I'd leave him where he is. And there might come a point where you go, hey, we got to do this. We can't get shelled every Friday.
Yeah, at some point we got to play.
But they're trying something different with Maddox, and maybe he thrives and maybe he doesn't, and you go from there. I guess Kentucky coming in, Kentucky's 5-1 in the league.
They were.
I mean, if you're Kentucky, you're just like, hey, we get one.
That's all.
We get one this weekend. 6-3 after 3 series. If you get 2, you're cooking with gas.
What other baseball thought going into the weekend or going into the night is, because I knew the rotation stuff would come out, I was listening to Richard's interview with Mike yesterday, And Richard opened up with kind of like, hey, it's on the road. A lot of home teams are winning. You know, you at least you avoided it. You got one. You did whatever. Kind of what we've talked about. And even a day later, Mike wouldn't go there. Mm-hmm. He was very pissed off still yesterday of, hey, we don't that's not how we go into this. Like, we did this, we did that. I expected a softer answer a day later and didn't get it at all.
Well, you wrote the word. Those were non-competitive games.
Yeah.
I mean, they did not compete on Saturday, Sunday.
No, they were outscored 30-7 those two games. Yeah.
And look, I mean, and you could do this with a million baseball games, okay? Let's be clear. But if the ground ball that goes through the infield that gets out to left field that drives in two runs, if that's just right at the shortstop.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, you can do this with a million games. Don't get me wrong. But they were closer to getting swept than they were to getting 2 out of 3. When you get blown out a couple of times in a weekend, and yeah, you have a ninth inning rally that you can really sink your teeth into, but the day after that rally, instead of building off of it, you go get blasted. I mean, I'm sure I can see why he's upset.
I mean, Tublo asking, has there ever been a team that threw the third guy on Friday, first guy on Saturday, second best guy on Sunday? Let's see how that works out. You know, there is some changes. Number one, just with baseball in general, because like we said, only two pitchers last year in SEC play averaged more than 5.2 innings per start. It just, we're in bullpen games now. It is where we are in college baseball. The offenses are so good, all those things. Those were Brandon Sproat and Paul Skenes.
And the kids throw so hard that they everyone's running a sprint and not.
It's what's interesting about this season is there are more aces and number two guys who are sinker ballers this year. They've gone a little more pitchability across the league. You know, Tennessee's Friday guys, this weird angle thing going on. I mean, South Carolina is full of sinker ballers. Why you hit double plays constantly against them. You got what Ole Miss is doing here with Maddox. So that's part of it. But I do think sometimes a team that doesn't have the real ace and just has their best pitcher, throwing him on Friday is the worst managerial move you can do because he's probably not out-dueling any of those cats, and then you just lost the chance to win the other games because you just, by God, we throw our ace, whoever our ace is, there on Friday. You know, from a season result standpoint, the team that probably did what you're talking about the best, and I'm going through my head a little bit, was 2013, that state team that finished second in the country under John Cohen. They didn't have an ace at all, and he was just trying to stay in the game fourth inning. And then they had the great bullpen with, maybe it was Holder, I don't remember who the pitcher was, but they just had to get there and get there and get there. And he did a really good job of maximizing the bullpen on Friday and then trying to win Saturday and Sunday. You know, the odd part of that is that team sucked when they came to Oxford that weekend. And there was that rain delay. You were at the game. Oh, they had that rain delay. Bobby Wall was going out there to start, and they did whatever, and game didn't happen, and they restarted it the next day or whatever it was. And State took 2 out of 3, I think, and just caught fire. And they ran it all the way to losing to UCLA in the national title series.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah.
It was a birthday party.
Yeah. And the rain was coming. Everybody knew it was coming.
Because I remember having two thoughts. Why is he warming up in two? I need to get out of here because we're going to get soaked.
Yeah, there was no chance. And Mike had Bobby out there. I'm like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
That was stubborn.
Mm-hmm. It's different, Mike, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it came.
I'd have been warming up my backup catcher. So you want to pitch? I'll tell you what. Take your time. Man, that was a gully washer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But that is the closest to that. I mean, we're getting a little better analytically and using some openers and things. I mean, look. I mean, before Mike realized that DeLucia could pitch with the lights on, I mean, he didn't even name any starting pitchers a couple of years ago. I mean, he gave me that quote. He goes, we have no starting pitchers. We're just throwing some dude out there and trying to get 3 outs, then 6 outs, then 9 outs, and just see where it goes.
Yeah.
And that one team won a national title 3 months later. Go figure.
Well, and a lot of these guys manage the weekends. They're not – you're managing a weekend, not just a game. And so, like, if you have an opportunity to win the Friday game, you might burn your bullpen up to get the win. And then go, hey, if we could just win one of the next two, I'm not going to say this out loud, but get one of
them. You need 81 outs, not 27
outs. Yeah. But you might only need 54 outs because your goal might just be to get two. And if you get two and whatever happens in the third one, like, so be it.
Yeah.
Cool. Love to win it, but we're good. Because in this league, look, if you win two out of three the whole way, you're hosting. You're probably a national seed. So Ole Miss is 3-3. At the end of the day, they and like half of the damn league is 3-3.
Yes.
There is, and I'm just telling you, I've watched a bunch of games already. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the top and the, other than Missouri. I think 1 through 13, there's some differences. There's some tiers. But dude, I'm telling you, I don't think
anybody, give me anybody to know where the game is.
I don't think they're extreme.
This weekend feels critical. It's Kentucky. I get what you're saying.
No.
But you still got to get to. You got to win the series.
No, if Ole Miss loses the series this
weekend,
that's
not good.
It's not good because they've got some tough series.
They got Arkansas coming up.
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got that going on. State here has not been a guarantee over the years.
No.
They've had their number here.
Yeah. So,
Ole Miss women falling to Notre Dame yesterday again, 71-56 to end their year at 24-9. They ran into a bad style. They ran into a better team yesterday. The number two seed Fighting Irish. The ball movement was exemplary.
If I ever coach a women's basketball team, Hannah Hidalgo can play for me anytime she wants.
Her and Westbeld were tremendous yesterday for Notre Dame. They had 20-19. Really jumped on the Rebels from the jump. Ole Miss made a bit of an early second half run, but never really cut it inside 10, I don't think.
No, they got to like 13.
Yeah, and then ended up losing there by 15. You know, they were not as – they was, give Notre Dame credit. They were not able to establish their defensive presence the way they typically would there with the way the ball movement and the guard play was for Notre Dame. And then they just struggle to score. I mean, it's one of those deals where it's sort of been their identity to have a bad time shooting. And I was thinking about it, and I was reading David Ecker from the Clarion Ledger, his story this morning about who's back and what the roster kind of looks like for next season. And if you're almost one women's basketball fan, you probably have to be – I mean, talk about an injury bug that has you frustrated is that she did a really nice job with a team that literally didn't have a point guard. They lost KK Deans. Fairly early in the year, Deans was somebody who was in the SEC. She averaged 15 points a game last year at Florida. So you're going to get that guard presence that could distribute and shoot. And then when she went out, just really, really struggled. And when you play a team like Notre Dame with no guard play.
Yeah, because their guard play was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they had several possessions where you're like, oh, that was pretty.
Yeah.
They move the ball really well in transition, which a lot of times teams don't do.
Right.
And again, I'm probably not going to become a women's basketball coach, but in the event that I do, I'm going into the portal. And
I mean, Hugh did. So you, I mean,
that's true.
You know,
we're gonna try to get Hannah Hidalgo.
You want one of those?
Yeah, I'd like her on my team. Okay. I thought she was terrific. I thought she was the key to the game. She constantly, kept them very consistent. She was very poised.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss had a hard time staying in front of her.
Yeah,
she was a menace on defense. Really understood the game. I just thought they played really well. Yep. At some point, you tip your hat.
Well, it's what Yo said yesterday too. The credit everybody kept like she kept getting asked questions about, well, you know, what'd you not do? And she kind of goes, "Hey, you guys are the two seed and the ACC champions. They get to play too.
They're good.
I mean,
I go back to my Peter King thing. This is what everybody does. People do this deal, but why did you lose? Well, because they won.
Yeah.
Everything's not an indictment. Sometimes you run into a better team.
I mean, she said it. She goes, look, am I frustrated by the way we played? Sure, but.
But part of why they played is because of what Notre Dame did. Notre Dame was very active on defense.
Yes.
Very active hands. They interrupted passing lanes. They defended well. They rebounded well. They positioned themselves well. I thought they did a lot of fundamental things. They looked like a team that won the ACC.
Yeah.
They looked like a team that probably could contend for a title.
And I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I think, and that's after watching two games yesterday, because I watched all of Ole Miss and Notre Dame, and I watched all of Iowa and West Virginia last night, is now that the game has improved, now that there is a little less parity or a little more parity, now that they have eyeballs, they have to get out of this home site thing in the first two rounds.
Agreed.
Go play it on neutral freaking sites.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because – I was watching Iowa last night.
And I'll get there after the break.
Carson came down and he goes, why are they playing at Iowa's gym?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't keep up.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't keep up with college basketball. Now, he has gotten into the tournament a little bit this year. But he came down and that's what was odd to him was he's been watching the men's tournament. And he was like, why are they at Iowa's gym? Not like, just yeah. like, that's odd. He goes, this is a tournament game?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, second round tournament game.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I thought about that. I said, they need to move this.
Yeah, no, it's one of those deals where I get why they did it forever. I understand.
Well, the two environments that you talked about yesterday, South Bend
they and impacted games.
Iowa City, they were yeah. both, from a TV standpoint, they were good. It was loud. It was energetic. I mean, can you, if you were to move those games to Des Moines and, I don't know, yeah, Indianapolis, would you yeah. get the same crowds? I don't know. Maybe.
But I think you're at the point where competitiveness has to overtake at this point. And whatever that means. I mean, because look, I think it completely won a game in Iowa City last night, and I think it completely won a game in Storrs, Connecticut with UConn beating Syracuse yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I caught the end of that as Ole Miss was.
I watched a good bit of that. I was on the Peloton.
Yeah, there you go. So
I watched three women's basketball games in one
And
game.
I caught a little of a fourth because I got a little intrigued by Tennessee NC State late.
Oh, yeah, that was on.
Yeah, see? Yeah. There you yeah. go. So, a little more on this. One more Ole Miss note, and then we'll get into some other stuff as well. But first, Prime Shrimp, PrimeShrimp.com. A lot of different flavors available for you. Their soy ginger is their newest option. It is fantastic. It goes great with hibachi. You can put it with rice, vegetables, other proteins, and much more. They've got their Jordan-style barbecue. It is their bestseller. Their signature is one of my favorites. A great protein snack, great on salads, lunch options there. They deliver it directly to your door. And then fewer than 10 minutes, freezer to plate. We're going to give you a little discount. Use code RG, buy five pouches or more, 25% off. Again, that is PrimeShrimp.com, code RG for 25% off.
Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa, is the perfect place to plan your company dinner, your festive party event. Craft libations that are great, fabulous food as well. They can accompany up to 200 guests at Opa. For catering or booking information, contact Jeannie, 601-421-7147. Don't forget about Rafters Music and Food on the Square as well. If you're coming up this weekend, stop by during the daytime hours, early evening hours before the kids take over, and enjoy watching some of the games and whatnot at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. We're brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help. Keep in mind that payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. You've got nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistltd.com. Get the beautiful and healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. Schedule your appointment today. Take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Either way, Andy Ludeke can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses and uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy. Put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free. You've got nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net, or 404-973-9901.
Mark asking who's the best college baseball team of all time. You know, a lot of the really good regular seasons, they don't end up winning it, especially back in the day when Omaha was a little more of a crapshoot because the final was just one game. A lot of people say the 83 Texas team, they went 24-0 in conference and they had Roger Clemens and they beat the crap out of everybody in the postseason.
Oh.
So that would be up there. That's one that would stick out in the top of your head. Ole Miss is going to hit the portal in women's basketball. Again, they got to improve the guard play. Deans can come back. I haven't heard anything regarding her, but I would assume from the ACL injury and her returning for the season. And then they had good news yesterday. Kennedy Todd Williams announced she would be back next season. She said that in the post game. And then they get Madison Scotton back next year as well. So they've got a pretty good nucleus to kind of build from there, especially in 2024 in the world of college basketball when nothing's a guarantee on who's back from one year to the next,
right,
and what that looks like, even in women's basketball. So, again, they finished the year 24 wins, had their best conference record in a long time. Second, I guess technically third round of the NCAA tournament, the round of 32, I still kind of get. Are we back to calling it second round? What are we doing?
I think it's a third round.
Does the first round count as a round? The first four, sorry?
Yeah. It's a round.
Does it?
Everybody else gets a technically gets a bye.
Okay.
Is what it is.
Okay.
Round of 32.
A round of 32 makes the most sense because it explains what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Journalism's all about accuracy and making it as easy as possible for people to do it.
Let's not go down the journalism road today. Let's not. After last night, no.
Okay.
No. You probably don't want to get started on the journalism discussion now.
Hang on, Mitchie Johnson's going where?
Back to Ohio State.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
They hired the interim, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, it's working out.
Vanderbilt hired the cat from James Madison.
It's actually a person from James Madison, but yes.
Yes, cat coverage. Hey, see that cat? Cover him. Mark Billington? Byington? What's his name?
Byington.
Byington. Okay, Byington. There you go.
He did a good job at James Madison.
With the Dukes.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything at Vanderbilt one way or the other.
No. And then something that completely makes sense given where the world is with college athletics, the Washington State coach has left to take the Stanford job yesterday.
Right.
He headed out and took that gig.
Danny Sprinkle at Utah State took the Washington job.
Oh, okay.
Literally hours after Utah State was eliminated. It's amazing how fast the negotiations occur, isn't it? It's incredible.
I have a hunch he might have been a little busier this week.
I don't know. I mean, come on. They just got it done quickly. Called and said, hey, would you be interested in coming to Washington? Yeah. How much can I offer?
They don't have an AD right now.
They got a basketball coach.
Okay. I mean, Ole Miss hired a football coach back in the day without an AD, so you can do it.
Yes, they did.
They did. Speaking of Ohio State hiring interim, I saw he was learning how to fence the other day. Ross took a picture with the fencing team at Ohio State. That's the first time he's been at a program that had a fencing team.
Was he on a tricycle?
That Bjork on the tricycle and Vitter with the balls is... Those are the two that just continue to resonate through the era, don't they?
The Vitter with the balls. I still get that picture sent to me sometimes by a certain person.
Yes.
Yeah. When you can tell maybe he's had one more glass of wine and just said, hey, here it comes.
I don't even remember about the I don't even remember the exact context, but a few years ago, speaking of that, of Vitter, even like Mike took a shot one day. I was like, whoa, wow, we're said something about something. I was like, whoa, okay,
all right,
we're doing that too.
That guy did some damage now.
Yeah. So last night, Caitlin Clark, Iowa, they advanced to the round of 16. They play Colorado, a 5 seed. Mm-hmm. That bracket stayed pretty intact because UCLA did come back and beat Creighton last night.
So UCLA plays LSU.
That is correct, yes. 2-3 game. And,
if LSU doesn't play better, they're not going to get they're about to get to the end of the road.
So last night, number one, credit to West Virginia. They are a frenetic defensive team that really impressed me. I full disclosure, that was the first second of West Virginia women's basketball I have seen this season. They were a handful. It was a weird matchup, as the Athletic predicted yesterday morning for Iowa. The officiating was 100% one-sided to get Iowa through that game.
It was, but the way the two styles were so different, one team fouled a lot and the other team didn't. It was funny. I was watching it, and full disclosure, I was for Iowa.
Yeah, sure.
I want them to win. They're a great story.
Yeah.
I have a thought about them that I think if they can, they may have just survived
one of their tougher ones,
the dagger, because they were so emotional about playing their final home game.
Yeah. Early on, they didn't stay in sets at all. They were odd offensively early in that game.
But West Virginia played real physical. They did foul them. They ran through screens. They threw you down a few times. I mean, they were trying to physical the game. So, yeah, was there a discrepancy? Yeah, but,
I thought in the second half, they let a lot of out-of-controlness, for lack of a word, out of Iowa go without cause.
Yeah.
A lot of hand checks and grabs and falls and just kind of stuff that just went.
But that game in the first half was clumsy.
Yeah,
there
was no flow.
Because of all the collisions and such. And so the way West Virginia plays, they're not going to get a lot of fouls. They're going to commit a lot of fouls. And the way Iowa plays, they don't foul a lot.
I mean,
they're trying to run offense. And look, they're trying to get the ball to her.
Yeah. And she had kind of a weird night. I mean, she had at least six turnovers, maybe more. I know at one point it was six.
In the handshake line, the coach at West Virginia very clearly said to her, "You are fantastic."
Oh, did she really?
Yeah.
She finished with 32.
Yeah, just got buckets when you had to have a bucket.
Including in the paint. Got inside. Oh, yeah. Was able to do some stuff.
Her game is different than what
she was trying to fit probably too perfect of passes several times. Like, I thought she got a little careless trying to make the 10 out of 10 pass or fit a window that wasn't really a window. I mean, honestly, she plays with a team that's not at her skill set, and that hurts her in a turnover standpoint because they're not catching it cleanly or expecting it. Or she's so much better than everyone else on the floor that it bogs her down in a way. Like, it's a weird dynamic.
Like, the other two main players, like Martin does some things okay, and Marshall's a really good defender. She doesn't really add a whole lot offensively. And so many times, and I'm with you, like, what were you doing? Not just go find a post player.
Yeah.
If they had a really good post player, they would lights out.
I mean, so yesterday, I was watching that game going, I was watching both those games going, as we said, God, put her in there with Hidalgo and Westbell, and that's your national title winner.
Oh, but it's over. If Caitlin Clark plays for Notre Dame.
We're not talking about South Carolina today.
It's a march.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even imagine those three together. They dominate. Because Hidalgo's so good that for a point guard, she doesn't have to have the ball in her hands.
I got one for you. It's related to women's basketball. Two thoughts. We're in a couple columns this morning. People, and I get it. I'm not even really criticizing. But, like, Nancy Armour was one, and somebody else wrote a column this morning. And was celebrating social media, griping about the officiating is a way to prove that people are watching and engaged and whatever. It's a valid point. I have no issue with that context at all.
Sure.
Can we get to the point to where it's just different but entertaining? Why are we obsessed with comparing or proving its worth at this point? Like, does that stop next year?
I don't know.
Are we done once this is over?
It's what drives me crazy with soccer people. Right here.
Yeah, just watch it. We're good. We're watching, so let us just watch.
Yeah, people are watching. People are starting to recognize the talent involved. But everything doesn't have to be a competition. The women's game's not competing against the men's game. They're two different games.
Here's the irony of this. Because this is true. I mean, I don't care, whatever. I understand why we do it, and we're doing it too. But, no, Ivy's at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, LSU, Iowa, Juju Watkins to a point. They're actually overshadowing South Carolina, the best team, with an incredibly famous coach who has won all the titles. That is the irony about this entire conversation, is that in a lot of ways, because I saw several people say this, and I agree, I think Jason McIntyre was one, South Carolina should be getting the UConn treatment, the men's Duke treatment in a lot of ways. And yet, they're not one of the five schools we talk about during this tournament. It is a really weird media test case of individual over team and kind of media craziness over what South Carolina is, which is just the Alabama of the sport. I mean, it's a team that lost five starters and is undefeated from last season. They lost all five starters, and yet here they are.
Yeah.
And that was not... That, for whatever reason, is not interesting in the national conversation. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just here. It's interesting.
Oh, it's that.
In the men's game, if Duke was undefeated going into the Sweet 16, we wouldn't go, well, you know, they don't have a number one pick.
Well, I kind of wonder if Carolina had won the title last year, maybe we'd be talking about them. They didn't win the title.
The fact that they got beat.
They got beat. I don't know. I mean, it's 2 years in a row that they screwed it up.
Not having LSU in Iowa. Now, here's the problem. LSU might not be good enough right now.
They might not be.
So you might get the game when you wouldn't have gotten the game.
You might get the Elite Eight game, Iowa versus LSU, where the whole world is cheering for Iowa.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. I mean, look. I'm not a person who consumes a lot of women's basketball, and yet I've watched more of it this year than maybe ever.
I know I've watched
since I was a kid when it kind of.
I was about to say I've watched more since I literally covered it because I was on the women's basketball beat for a year. So no, it's the most since 2005.
And there's a lot of unspoken narratives involved in some of these stories that are fascinating, right? I mean, the Mulkey story is quickly becoming.
Yeah, I mean, Nancy did it this morning too. I know you're shocked.
What'd she say?
Well, I mean, just not Mulkey, but the whole other part of the women thing.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated in next year. How do you take all this momentum with no Caitlin Clark next year,
right,
and keep it going? What do you do?
Is she big enough to hoist the WNBA?
I'm
on
college, though.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the women's game.
Yeah, the answer is yes. People will watch her in the WNBA if she has early success.
Because look, in 1979, nobody watched the NBA. They literally played the finals on tape delay.
Yeah.
But a couple of transcendent personalities slash players came through. And let's see, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird should never pick up a check. Wherever they go, some NBA guy should be calling and going, hey, if they're there, just put their bill on me. I got it. Here's my card.
They did for basketball what Tiger Woods did for golf.
Yes. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Angel Reese and to a much more extent, Caitlin Clark, is what we'll be curious to see is all of these little girls who are going to packing these arenas to see Caitlin Clark, do they suddenly go to the Indiana Fever games?
And it's a much longer conversation than right now. But we almost needed it to be all together. You almost needed Angel Reese, Mulkey, Caitlin Clark, the South Carolina team. You almost needed all this at one time because we didn't do this over the years when UConn had Maya Moore.
Mm-mm.
Who's a very, very good talent too. You know what I mean?
But isn't basketball, especially the college game, isn't it more of a niche sport today than it's ever been?
So why has that allowed it to progress inside the larger world then, though, would be my question.
Well, that's my point. Caitlin Clark's got there's a lot there that people like us are scared to
talk
about.
But I guess that's my point, though, is we needed all those things for it to transcend versus the UConn girl who was just the best player in the world?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, that's my kind of my question.
Yeah. Well, UConn was boring.
I mean, we had Rebecca Lobo, and we had
UConn was boring.
And we had Candace Parker, and we had all these people.
I don't know that we're talking about Caitlin Clark if she plays for UConn.
Because she's just a UConn player.
Just another UConn player.
Yeah,
she plays for effing Iowa.
Yeah.
They're not good.
Yeah. They're not going to the Final Four next year.
No. Again, I mean, I give Wright credit. The story was incredible. I mean, like the Iowa coach, you could almost feel the disappointment when she calls her coaching staff and goes, we're not going to get her.
Mm-hmm.
We've traveled all over the world making sure she sees us at her games. Thailand and stuff.
We've done everything we can do.
We're not going to get her.
Yeah.
And then you get the call, hey, do you have a few minutes? Yeah.
I got as much time as you need.
I mean, she's at dinner with her husband. They just sat down and ordered drinks. And she's like, hey, I'm going to step outside a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what she'd love to know is like, how long was it, you know, before she gets back to the table? You know, and he's like, oh, our lives just changed.
Yeah.
In a phone call. And she's that transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, is there a player in the men's game that in the tournament this year, there's not one?
No.
That's the incredible part of this.
No.
I can't think of one player in the Sweet 16 that his presence makes me watch the game. For me, it's the only one is like, I'll watch the Filipowski thing because people keep mocking him to the Thunder. But that is so niche.
Well, the only one that has an impact on the game is Edie. And I mean, he's not interesting, but I mean simply the impact on the basketball court.
Yes.
Edie's the only one in the country.
He's the one guy that when he's out there, you're like, oh, I want to see how this kind of works out.
Yeah. He's that good.
Yeah. And I caught myself cheering for him the other day.
He's taking a lot of crap for just being good.
For just being a dude.
Yeah.
Oh, they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. Okay, so there was an upset.
Yeah. They happened.
I mean, okay. I think Matt Painter's kind of handled that part of it well. But the point is that, I mean, you've got, there's some fun storylines potentially. There's some good games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But like Illinois and Iowa State is going to be a great game. The only personal storyline in that game is the kid for Illinois that's got an outstanding rape charge against him.
Yeah. By the way, I saw top 25 basketball recruiting rankings a minute ago. UConn not in the top 25. They just do it so differently.
Yeah.
It's just not a...
He kind of is a culture guy.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze. The 1 gig option with them. Your hometown team bring you world-class broadband. That's NESPark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service is available. Print controls, network security, wireless mesh extender for those who need the extra help, and more. Again, that is 662-238-3159.
Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails, a whole lot offered at Southern Traditions, including horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons to advanced to competing in nationally recognized competitions. It's also a great venue for corporate outings and events and whatnot. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag to you tomorrow. It's brought to you by Art Hayes of Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's to work for you as a licensed agent with Sotheby's and a supporter of all things Ole Miss. Art can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you. Seriously, call and ask Art how. It's 612-805-5929 or arthur.hayes@lakesmn.com.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area and they offer MedSeat. Free prescriptions the same day each month. Take care of you. Do all those things in Oxford and Holly Springs. And Holly Springs is Tyson Drugs right there on the square in Holly Springs. And again, in Oxford, that's South Lamar. Don't stay with a big box pharmacy. Let a community pharmacy help you out. Again, that is 662-236-2222. Weird note here I just saw this morning, not even football related, but just ironic luck. The Caribbean island Anguilla, their website, like .com kind of thing, is .ai. They are selling their websites to people in AI companies who get to put .ai at the end of their thing.
Oh.
It has increased their GDP by more than 10% in a calendar year.
Oh, wow.
Simply selling their websites because they have .ai as the suffix.
That's easy money.
All day. I'll give y'all all of them and we'll figure it out.
Amen.
I mean, if you'd like one, here.
Absolutely.
Feel free for that thing. The ACC is frustrated by how they have played in the NCAA tournament compared to the number of teams they got in, specifically Pitt and Wake Forest not getting in. They said starting next year, even though they're soon going to be adding extra teams, they are probably knocking conference games down. This is kind of in relation to the SEC in football. They are going to go from 20 to 18 conference games, it sounds like, because they believe that will have a larger impact on their resumes moving into the postseason to play two fewer conference games. So, ACC coming out yesterday and saying that.
I mean, the one thing with Ole Miss basketball that I'm interested in is the schedule.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right, that's what I'm interested in. Can you schedule better?
Yeah. Hard place to schedule.
Although they've never scheduled with Chris Beard before.
Sure.
He didn't have a chance last year because it was too late. But now you have time this time to make a schedule that's more daunting.
To schedule well, you need a lot of respect nationally because teams are worried that you're good enough to beat them, but when they beat you, it doesn't do anything for them.
Yeah, they have to believe at the end of the year their loss to you won't hurt.
Yes. That is the premier problem with college basketball scheduling.
Yeah.
And airport availabilities and some things like that that don't get pointed out as much in other sports because of the way the schedule works. Pac-2 is trying to stay afloat a little bit. Oregon State and Washington State. These teams that are winning right now are getting money and points through the NCAA prize pool there, and those are simply going to those two programs moving forward. So you're talking about $20 million so far in NCAA tournament revenue that is just going to Washington State and Oregon State as the other teams progress through the NCAA tournament.
Good for them.
Oh, sure. They finalized exit fees. It looks like it's going to be $5 million per team to those teams. So it's another $65 total that is going into that, plus an additional $1.5 million per team. I don't know why the extra $1.5 million, but so – look, it ain't enough, but just a little more and a little more and a little more as they're trying to figure out where to go or what's going on or what to do.
If they're smart, they'll put that in escrow and trying to figure out a way to find the new league. Or get the Mountain West and call it the Pac-12.
Well, you would definitely do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you would brand to your surroundings.
Yeah.
But come on.
Oh, it's brutal.
Because, like, in football, they've got a schedule agreement with the Mountain West.
It's
like,
it's going to be demoralizing starting next year.
Oh, you
like, right now, you're still playing your baseball series, and UCLA's coming to town and stuff like that. But it's starting in August. It's going to get demoralizing.
I mean, I feel terrible for all of them and everybody involved, but Oregon State's just hung out to dry in a way that's...
Yeah.
Because they're pretty good at everything.
And, and very dedicated, big fan base.
Got a lot of Nike money. I mean, I know everybody says about Oregon, but they give to Oregon State, too.
I mean, I've said this before, so I'll be quick, but that... When I was in Vegas, I guess it was a couple... Whatever that was, a year ago, year plus ago, and they had... They were playing Florida, handful of... About a week before Christmas. Chase, they had 40,000 people at that game. In Vegas. Florida had like four people.
Yeah, Florida did not.
Including Jaden Rashada.
Florida was trying to get a bowl game over with by playing.
Yeah, they literally left after the game and went home.
Yeah.
Got there like a couple days before. But they had no fans there. So I don't know.
People much smarter than me with women's basketball, by the way, just did a ESPN reseeding of the tournament. Now that they're in the Sweet 16, South Carolina, Texas, USC, Iowa, the top four is how they would reseed them at this point.
Okay.
So just again, talk about Texas sitting there as a one seed, and we got nothing, guys. No. I don't know. Like you're Carolina, Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, Texas. Like,
yeah, literally.
I don't know.
Cool. Hook 'em.
Yeah. I don't know. Sure. Like, they win and go, that was disappointing. Okay, great. Awesome. By the way, Iowa and Colorado played in last year's Sweet 16 as well.
Oh, did they?
So a bit of a rematch there between those two teams. So, yeah, I don't know.
When are those games? Friday or Thursday? Or Saturday? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can find it if you would like me to.
It's not that pressing. I'll figure it out.
Are you going to set your watch?
I mean, there's a lot, you know, like... For me this weekend, like keeping the podcast in mind, trying to be able to be conversant next week, which I think is my goal, there's a lot on the table because you've got the men's tournament. You've got the women's tournament that we don't really have to discuss, but I'm interested in. NBA is starting to get closer to the playoffs. Seeding is at hand. The Major League Baseball series, I mean, season starts for real Thursday. Like the Cubs and the Cardinals were playing yesterday in Mesa and they play again today in Mesa. And after the game, both teams quote break camp. The Cardinals fly to Los Angeles to get ready to play the Dodgers and the Cubs fly to Dallas to get ready to play the Rangers. The season's here. So you have that. And then the college season that we talk about a lot on this show. So there's a lot to there's. And then both girls are going to be home. So, you know, it's trying to like, how do you cram all that into one?
State is in the WNIT or whatever it's called, quarterfinals on Thursday. So, you can discuss that.
No. I wouldn't discuss that if it were Ole Miss.
Oregon State, Notre Dame is Thursday. Indiana, South Carolina is, sorry, Friday. Oregon State, Notre Dame Friday. Indiana, South Carolina Friday. NC State, Stanford Friday. Gonzaga, Texas Friday. Saturday, LSU, UCLA, Colorado, Iowa, Baylor, USC, and Duke, UConn.
Okay.
Those are the 16 women's teams remaining at this point.
Ginger wants more discussion of the
invention. I pulled it up. What we'll do is we have no time for discussion. If you guys have one, we'd like to debate tomorrow, but I'll have Neil pick first round winners right now. So you can do this quickly.
Okay.
At the end of the podcast.
All right.
If someone would like to get a pen, feel free. I'm not filling this out right now on top of my head, but we'll get there. We can even do the rest of the bracket later in the week. We got time with you guys.
Okay.
Wheel versus Roomba.
The wheel.
Deodorant versus Bitcoin.
Deodorant.
Color TV, lava lamp.
Color TV.
I mean, deodorant won a Cubs World Series. So, I mean, hey, that bitch might have a chance
here as
we move forward this thing.
Got a shot.
Beer versus the lawnmower.
Beer.
You'll cut the grass some other way. It can grow. You don't really care.
I love beer.
Okay. seatbelt garbage disposal.
Oh, seatbelt
garbage disposal. You can take almost any kitchen appliance away from me. I want my garbage disposal.
Yeah, but you can just throw it into the trash.
No, but
seatbelt saves lives.
I'll drive safely.
What about the other disposal? People might not drive safely?
We're defensive driving. We're worried about them.
Yeah.
Democracy versus email. True democracy.
Okay. Democracy.
You're going to move it on?
I mean, I got questions about its viability, but sure.
Credit card versus vibrator. I'm reading the list, okay? I didn't make the list.
Credit card versus vibrator. Now, for me, it would be the credit card, which causes problems in and of itself. But now for the other half of the population, they might really fight you here. Okay. I'm going to pick an upset. Vibrator beats the credit card.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because we can still have currency other ways. Sure. We don't have to have that.
Yeah.
Air conditioning against karaoke.
Air conditioning, dude.
That's karaoke just might be the dead last thing here.
I mean, I lived in Mobile for 10 years.
It's karaoke. I mean, I'm sorry. It's air conditioning. Yeah. Fire versus Segway.
Fire.
It's not a freaking invention.
Agreed.
But harnessing fire.
It's not going to make the final four.
It's not.
Probably not.
Wikipedia versus the bicycle. 8-9 game.
Oh, that's a really good game. Wikipedia versus the bicycle. Oh, that's close. That's a really good game.
I'm having a hard time here because Wikipedia is the most used reference tool in the world, and there are enough people out there that keep it edited correctly to where it's viable.
Oh, it's definitely viable. Now, the bicycle is, I mean,
big deal.
Think about it for little kids. It's,
oh, I know.
It's a, I'm going to go bicycle, but this is close.
That's overtime. I got questions.
That's a game that goes, it gets impacted by just one call late.
Calculus versus the Coke freestyle machine. The one where you get to pick all the flavors with the added in stuff. Like it does everything in one soft drink thing.
Still calculus.
Okay. Refrigerator versus the garlic press.
Refrigerator. Good grief.
Artificial intelligence versus American cheese.
Oh. What an interesting contest that is.
6-11 game.
You know, AI can be disastrous.
And great, all at the same time. I mean, full disclosure, we use it to make our podcast sound better every day right now.
Yeah. I'll go AI because you can have other types of cheese.
American cheese is actually underrated because, yes, it's cheese product. It's not real cheese. If you're a cheese aficionado, I understand that it's the devil, but it has a low melting point.
Oh, yeah.
It makes good grilled cheeses. There are things that American cheese, if you keep it in context, does very well.
Well, you know, we have a Blackstone.
Yeah.
We do the smash burgers.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the most popular thing that I do family-wise with the Blackstone. And American cheese just melts just perfectly.
Steam engine versus blue text.
Steam engine.
Okay. Velcro versus plastic.
Plastic.
Plastic over Velcro. Okay. Penicillin versus the snorkel.
Penicillin.
That feels...
Yeah, that's a 215 throwaway.
Internet versus the jacuzzi.
I mean,
the internet.
Internet, yeah.
Bluetooth versus vaccines.
Oh.
It's vaccines. Polio, Neil.
Yeah. Bluetooth is very convenient.
Not arguing. And
vaccines have struggled the last few years.
I understand. If you want to pull the upset, you can pull the upset. I mean, your bracket. It's losing to internet next round either way. So
yeah.
If you want to have a little fun, you can have a little fun.
Yeah, Bluetooth wins.
Okay.
In a shocker.
Sewing machine versus Heelys? What is a Heely?
I don't know. I mean, sewing machine's kind of a big deal.
Is that just shoes? Is the Heely just a shoe?
Yeah, we're just going sewing machine wins.
Yeah, for lack of understanding, let's go with that. Microwave versus mortgage-backed securities.
Oh, wow.
That's not a 413 you saw coming. I'm pulling an upset here.
I think I am too.
We can go around the microwave.
Mortgage-backed securities pulls it off.
Toothbrushes versus air fryer. It's toothbrush.
Toothbrush.
But
I love me some air fryer.
Contraceptives versus Dyson Airwrap. We're going to go with contraceptives. We're going to move the 3C through at this point.
Yeah.
Sunscreen versus wireless headphones.
Oh.
I love me some wireless headphones.
Is this a 611?
I think it's a 710.
Okay.
Because look, it's sunscreen. cancer. But, yeah. You know, I get made fun of. I've got 15 different wireless headphones. I mean, yeah. I have one for every different task. I have one for cold weather running, for warm weather running. I have AirPods. I have ones I talk to for office calls. I have another one that I do some podcasts with. Like, it's...
You might have a problem.
Oh, wireless headphone. I have chargers everywhere now. Yeah. There are chargers everywhere. Just saying.
I'm concerned.
The printing press is going to beat the espresso martini, even though that is a very popular cocktail these days. St. Leo sells more espresso martinis than any other cocktail.
Really?
That is true. That is.
I guess I need to go try one. I never see that on the menu. Go. That's what I want.
Yes, they do more espresso martinis than any other cocktail. That is correct.
Ginger's very upset about this.
What are we upset about?
Right. She says some of these aren't inventions. Then contraceptives is a 3-seed. Hey, we didn't do the bracket.
All right, final region, electricity versus something. I couldn't figure out what that was.
It's electricity.
I mean, that's the really early favorite.
It's going to be tough to,
coffee versus the ability to GPS or find phones or like things like that.
Oh.
8-9.
Wow, what an 8-9 that is. I mean, for a lot of people, coffee is
mandatory.
It's just an absolute, but like you can have a rain instead.
I'm going with the GPS here. Ability to find items and use tiles and that kind of thing. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. If electricity wasn't waiting, that thing might run for a minute here.
Yeah. That's going to lose next round, but sure.
Zipper versus pasteurization. 5-12 matchup.
Pasteurization.
Yes, 100%. Semiconductors versus hair ties.
Semiconductors versus hair ties. Well, I mean,
semiconductors because we're men.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'd have long hair.
I mean, I'll give you the vibrator, but come on.
Yeah. Batteries versus the ability to autofill. Batteries. The autofill screws up half the time.
It's messed things up for me.
What is Zens? I should know that.
Z-E-N-S?
Z-Y-N-S. What is that?
I don't know.
I should know this. I'm sorry, people. Nicotine pouches.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Some kind of nicotine pouches. It's going against indoor plumbing. We're going to move indoor plumbing through
here. Yeah, come on. Do without your damn nicotine patch.
Contact lenses versus blue jeans.
Contact lenses.
We'll wear something else.
Total.
Chinos.
Total game changer.
And then 215 to finish, agriculture versus ice cream.
Oh. I mean, it's agriculture.
It's agriculture. But ice cream at 15 feels a little... How's a coffee at 8 and ice cream's at 15?
Then if I told you, though, you can only have one for the rest of your life, ice cream or coffee, which do you pick?
Oh, it's coffee.
Yeah, all day.
Well, because I'm the idiot that likes frozen yogurt more than ice cream.
But, I mean, ice cream's still a treat. It's not a necessity. Coffee's basically a necessity.
Yes, I hope we don't have to run vibrator against battery because then we are in a bit of a time warp here where it's necessary. More. Yes. I don't like anything more than I like not being pregnant. So
I understand
that makes sense. Anyway, all right, there was the first round.
Speaking of, I'm almost surprised given some of the inventions in quotes, surprised someone didn't put sex on there.
Well, I know fire. Well, right. Hold on.
Yeah,
got questions. Water didn't make it, so they didn't say the ability to use water as propulsion or as cleaning.
That's a good point.
So, all right, if we need it later, we can go to the second round. Somebody would like to figure out the bracket, feel free. Morning Brew is where you find the bracket. You can check them out on Twitter for that and more. Ole Miss, Austin Peay, 6:30 tonight from Swayze Field. Kyler Carmack against somebody for the Governors. I don't know. Yep. They'll have some fans in the crowd. They chant, "Let's go Peay," every time they score a run. So that is Austin Peay tonight.
Lane Kiffin speaks in a couple of hours. We'll have that to you. A couple of players. I don't know who that will be, but we'll have some football coverage over the next 24 hours as well.
Talk to you tomorrow.